Ramona Shelburne, so great to cross paths with you here on The Daily and not just on Around the Horn. I wanted to take you back to November 11th of last year. The Lakers had just lost to the Sacramento Kings. It was their fifth consecutive game, and their record dropped to an NBA worst 2-10. What was the feeling around the team at that moment?
I was at that game. I remember seeing Darvin Ham a lot those days. And I would like pass him in the hallway after his press conference or if he was walking by. And I was like, you okay, man? Like, you all right? Because, I mean, that guy just left the Milwaukee Bucks and, you know, was really excited. This is his first head coaching opportunity in the league. He had other opportunities in the league, but he wanted to coach the Lakers. And like, I remember he came in with so much optimism and so much positivity. And within a few games, you kind of felt like the wheels might fall off.
It's kicked around with three, with two, Reeves on its way. This game is over, and the Lakers cannot get the W. Lakers went 2 out of 10 down the stretch.
Russell Westbrook was an issue.
This is the front court. Russell pulled up. Oh. No, Russ, no, he missed it. Taken now by Portland.
Pat Beverly was an issue.
And now Patrick Beverly has brought a camera out onto the court to show the official the last play, and he just got called for a technical foul. What is he doing?
Anthony Davis, LeBron James, like, did not look happy out there. They just kept finding new and different ways to lose. And Darvin was like, Mr. Positive.
I would say this, man, and write it, quote it, however. This may be happening now at the outset, but it's not going to always be like this. We're going to turn the corner. I didn't come here to lose.
He's just going to keep setting that tone, and he's never gets too high, never gets too low. And I'm like, when's this guy going to crack? When's this guy going to crack? Because the season was very quickly going to slip away from them. The word ugly feels a little strong, but that's how it felt. Like, how is this going to end? Because it certainly didn't look like it would end well.
And that was 12 games into an 82-game season. And at that point, the Lakers had a 0.3% chance of making the playoff. But now they're in the Western Conference Finals. What changed?
There was this time when Dallas came to town, and I remember catching Jared Dudley, who's an assistant on the staff with the Mavericks now. And I remember saying to Jared Dudley, like, you know, he's obviously still really close with LeBron, and a lot of the guys on that team won a ring with them in 2020 in the bubble. And I said, like, Jared, are they going to be okay? Like, is LeBron really going to go out like this? Is this how it's going to work? And he goes, all they have to do is get in the playoffs because you got LeBron and AD and that's enough. I've just thought about that all the time this last month or so. If you have LeBron and AD and you can create a team where they can be LeBron and AD and they're actually on the court and healthy, it might just be enough. Like, that formula in 2020 was enough. And somehow, some way, they've been able to do it where they are this new team that was thrown together on the fly at the trade deadline. Completely new team. It's a new energy. It's a new way that they're playing. They're able to just focus in on their two key guys. And what happened was they just cleared out all of the bad feelings, all of the things that were in their way from being able to just be LeBron and AD. Like, it reminds me of that scene in Draft Day. Remember that when the guy who's supposed to draft this guy over, you know, no matter what?
I haven't seen it, but my producers are telling me Vontae Mack, no matter what.
No matter what you do at the end of the draft, no matter all the things that go on, just draft this guy, right? And I sort of feel like there's a clarity when you think about that with LeBron and AT. No matter what happens, no matter what goes wrong, just get LeBron and Anthony Davis into the playoffs and let them do their thing. Just get them there healthy and just let them play.
Stop me if you've heard this before. LeBron James is one step away from the NBA Finals. For the 12th time in his 20-year career, the King is playing for a conference crown. But this year, the path to being the best in the West passes through Nikola Jokic and the Rocky Mountains. So today, Ramona Shelburne breaks down just how impressive getting there has been for a Lakers team that started the season 2-10, and what the Nuggets have to do to crash the party. I'm Israel Gutierrez. It's Tuesday, May 16th. This is ESPN Daily.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Okay, Ramona, let's pick this up at the point where the Lakers picked up their season, the trade deadline. Up until then, LA was stuck in an unhappy marriage with Russell Westbrook, but they shipped him off to Utah for D'Angelo Russell, Jared Vanderbilt, and Malik Beasley. Why did that work so well?
Well, sometimes from one relationship, you know, they just carries over into the next, right? And that's usually a bad thing. Like, you know, you usually date the opposite of who you were dating before, or you marry right. The opposite or something.
You want to make improvements.
Or just change the vibe. I think that's pretty much what this trade did. Russell Westbrook was another star. He was a former MVP. He takes up a lot of oxygen in the room in terms of attention and focus. And just when you coach him, you're not just coaching another guy on the team, you're coaching another superstar. And the Lakers realized pretty quickly, and I think Russell probably realized it pretty quickly, he and LeBron James could not coexist on the court. So let's just start on the court. There was this idea that LeBron was going to let Russ be the secondary playmaker and that LeBron was going to stagger his minutes maybe with Russ, or if they played together, maybe Russ would just play off the ball and he would cut and he would be that guy. I've been hearing this idea that LeBron James would let somebody else be the primary ball handler for 10 years now. It doesn't happen. That's not how you play with LeBron James on your team. Right. So pretty quickly, it became obvious that you couldn't have LeBron and Russ on the court at the same time. And if you can't do that, then you have to have Russ come off the bench. Asking him to do that is an affront to his stature in the NBA as a former MVP.
I've been doing the same thing for 14 years straight. Honestly, I didn't even know what to do pregame. Being honest, I was trying to figure out and try to stay warm and loose, and that's something that just I wasn't accustomed to.
It's not something he wanted to do. It's something he pretty much had to do, or he was going to be out of the league or off the team. And that whole dynamic, that baggage that that brought with it, the emotional baggage, just the feeling around the team of feeling stuck, of feeling like you're making something work that doesn't fundamentally work. When they finally were able to get rid of that dynamic, when they finally were able to trade him to Utah, he takes the buyout, he goes to the Clippers. And when they got the new guys, when they got Vanderbilt and Beasley and D'Angelo Russell, and let's not forget Rui Hachimura, who came over in a deal right before that. These were players that fit. If you had a manual of teams and players that would work well with LeBron James, all of these players that they get at the trade deadline are straight out of central casting. You need a ball handling guard who can shoot from three that defenses have to respect. That's D'Angelo Russell.
Tillman's done an outstanding job. Russell, a heat check. Back-to-back threes for D'Angelo Russell.
You need a 3-and-D guy. That's Rui Hachimura.
Jones gave it away. Rui on the break. Flying first class.
Or Jared Vanderbilt.
Jaren Jackson will line up a three. Vanderbilt gets another block. He's got two blocks already. Vanderbilt running the floor on a two-handed jam.
You need a tough guard who can catch and shoot threes. That's Malik Beasley.
Lakers want to push. Reeves finds Beasley. And another one is good. Malik Beasley.
Those are players that historically have done very well next to LeBron James. That's how they won in 2020. They had a group with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, right? No matter what. And if you just surround them with the right type of players, they should be able to do it as long as they're healthy at the same time. And they happen to be somewhat healthy at the same time in these playoffs.
It's funny, Ramona, LeBron sometimes gets some flack for playing GM.
Mm-hmm.
But this is kind of the second time this has happened to his teams in season where they had a large makeover. In 2017-18, the season after they traded for Kyrie Irving, if you remember, traded a lot of pieces and got back guys like Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. and retooled that team around him, and that team got to the NBA Finals. Now, in this case, Rob Pelinka, the Lakers' actual GM, did similar things. Why was he able to identify players that fit so well with LeBron and AD?
I mean, I think the formula is simple. If you're going to have LeBron and AD, you have to have guys that give them space. The formula was good in 2020, and they kind of messed with it in 21. That was the year when they came back and they tried to get better rather than just completely run it back. They kind of swapped out Dwight Howard that year, and they added Marc Gasol. Montrezl Harrell was on the team that year. And in 2022, they just completely went to a new formula altogether by trading for Westbrook. And by 2023, I think everybody kind of looked back and was like, just do what works.
Right.
Just do what worked not so long ago in 2020 when you won. Get a team like that. And they went back to a tried and true formula around LeBron, which is amazing that at age 38, it still works. But that's pretty much what they did and why they did it. And it really changed the, you know, to go back to the original metaphor of when you get out of a marriage or when you get out of a relationship, oftentimes the next person you're with is the exact opposite of who you were with before. You just need a palate cleanser. And that's why it worked. And I think the weight of this idea that when you have LeBron James, who is playing this well at his age, you cannot waste another year of peak LeBron James. It's probably after his peak, but he's still up there. And you can't waste another year of it.
We're going to get to LeBron a little bit later because the man continues to be fascinating.
Yeah.
But obviously the trades that they made worked. They had an 18-9 record after the deadline, the best in the Western Conference, secured the spot in the play-in. And as the season was winding down, Ramona, they became the team that everybody mentioned they didn't want to face in the playoffs. They knocked off number 2 seed Memphis. They knocked off the defending champ Warriors. How well do they match up with the number 1 seed Nuggets?
I think this is going to be their toughest series of all. I thought Memphis was going to be a really difficult series for them just because Memphis is young and they like to run and they can tire them out, like sort of young legs versus old legs. But Memphis is not whole. Memphis didn't have Brandon Clark or Steven Adams. They also are very immature and young and kind of self-destructed in that last game. The Warriors, I mean, watching that series back, like you felt like the Warriors could have got a couple of those games that they lost. But it was so obvious how physically dominant and how much bigger and stronger the Lakers were. Like, the Warriors just could not stay with them physically. Like, they were just small, just getting run off the ball all the time. They were so physical and big. Well, the Nuggets are pretty deep, they're pretty big, and they're pretty physical. And so I think the difference in this series, it's not as obvious, right? These are two teams that have dominant centers. And Anthony Davis and Nikola Jokic, I'm going to be very curious to see how that matchup goes. Because in that Warriors series, I said at the beginning that if Anthony Davis is the best player in the series, the Lakers will win. And that's a lot to put on him, but that's where he is. He's got to be the best player for this team. Well, doing that against Draymond Green and Kevon Looney, two excellent post defenders, but who are 6'9". Is a lot different than doing that against Nikola Jokic, who's not known for his defense, but is a lot bigger, a lot stronger.
Yes.
And is going to wear Anthony Davis out defensively in a way that he has not been tested since they played in the playoffs in 2020.
Well, you mentioned the bubble in 2020 and them meeting in this round and the fact that there was no travel.
Yeah.
Is the hidden plot line here the way the altitude and the travel might affect an older LeBron?
I mean, I think the altitude and the travel, I think that always matters when you play Denver. that is a huge home court advantage for them. This series is going to be every other day. It's back and forth and back and forth. It's not a long flight. So I think it's 2 hours gate to gate, but it's a tougher travel and it's certainly a lot tougher than it was in the bubble. I think LeBron has handled the playoff schedule remarkably well so far. I can point to two games where I felt like he was tired. That game five in Memphis and probably game five against the Warriors. He was just tired. Like he was just, that was a save it for the next game kind of LeBron. And they have had a little bit of time off. Both teams have had the weekend because the Lakers closed out on Friday and the Nuggets closed out before that. And so both teams should be rested coming into this. And I think it just comes down to how they handle the every other day of it all. And Denver's used to playing at altitude. They should have the edge when it comes to the fatigue factor, but they've also never been there. They've never gotten past this stage. This group lost to the Lakers in the bubble at this exact stage 3 years ago. I have fun with the callbacks, right? There's KCP, who's now on the Nuggets, was on that Lakers team. This is the Anthony Davis series where he hits the three from the corner and yells Kobe, right?
Bidding to even the Western Conference Finals. Rondo at 2.1. Bounces it in. Davis a three for the win. He hit it. Anthony Davis, a buzzer-beating three-pointer.
It was a really good Western Conference Finals 3 years ago. And I think it's going to be a great Finals coming up this week.
And it might just be the moment itself that takes the breath away from the Nuggets and not quite the altitude.
I guess. Good. That was good, Iz.
But coming up, the sleeping giant that awaits the Lakers in Denver.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Okay, Ramona. So the Western Conference Finals start tonight. It's a rematch of the series from 2020. And while the Lakers had to fight and claw to get here, Denver's been atop the West basically all year. They have the number one offense in the league behind Nikola Jokic, winner of back-to-back MVPs before this season. Is it as simple as the Nuggets go as far as Jokic will take them?
Well, we often think that the Nuggets are just Nikola Jokic because he is a transcendent player, an all-time great. He's the two-time MVP. But the reason why the Nuggets are here is because Jamal Murray's been great and Aaron Gordon's been great. And they have a much deeper team now with KCP and Bruce Brown. This is a nice team and it goes about nine deep most nights. Like they can go eight, nine players deep. And I think they've done a great job getting players who fit alongside Jokic, who play the style that they want to play. To me, this series really comes down to defense against the two centers, right? Nikola Jokic is known as a great offensive player, but defensively he has been rather poor. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. During the regular season, Denver allowed opponents to shoot 69% at the rim, the third highest rate allowed in the NBA, according to Second Spectrum. In other words, they are not great at interior defense. In the 2020 series, which I think is actually valid as a callback, even though they have a lot of different players on these teams, if you remember, Anthony Davis did match up with Jokic, but this was the Dwight Howard series.
Right.
This was the series the Lakers dusted off Dwight Howard and said, Dwight, you're a big guy, you're strong, and you have six fouls. Go out there and use them all. And he got into Jokic in a way that was, I mean, it was like probably his greatest career moment. I mean, that game that Dwight Howard was out there and he was fouling him, but he was like, he was roughing him up and he was pushing him around and he just really flustered him.
Dwight Howard in the middle of the Nuggets camp there, creating a little, see, this is the veteran presence that you have on this Laker team.
I thought that was a really critical game in that Western Conference series in 2020. I don't think the Lakers have a guy like that this year. So do you want to use Anthony Davis on Jokic in this series? Do you want him to be wasting all his energy defending a guy who's going to score no matter what?
It feels like it's asking a lot of Anthony Davis.
It is. It's asking probably too much. And so I think the Lakers have got to figure out a different way. I could see LeBron taking a turn. That's crazy, but I mean, LeBron's big.
Well, no matter where LeBron goes, it's not like he'll be able to rest because, as you mentioned, the Nuggets are here because Jamal Murray has been great.
Yeah.
And Aaron Gordon has been great during this postseason. So beyond the center matchup, how do the Lakers defend against the other scoring threats in Denver? Because this LA team has been the best defensive team in the postseason.
The Lakers' defense is elite, and that's why they're here. It's not because they're blowing the doors off anybody offensively. It's because they have an elite defense, and Anthony Davis has been a monster inside. The best defensive players on the Lakers are Anthony Davis, and it's not even close. And then there's Jared Vanderbilt, who's a really long, smart defender who knows how to be out on the perimeter and knows where he's supposed to be all the time. Okay, then there's Rui Hachimura, who's been a nice 3-and-D guy for them. He's a little bigger and stronger, but he's better on the perimeter. Defensively, Dennis Schroeder's been very good for them. Austin Reeves is a capable defender. All those guys are going to match up well with the Denver guards because they're a lot bigger than them. The combination of Vanderbilt and Schroeder was a real tough matchup for Steph Curry in the last round. Really tough.
It's a little crazy, Ramona, that we've mentioned Dwight Howard so far as much as we've mentioned LeBron James. So I want to talk about him for a second. It feels like maybe a couple years ago, some people stopped believing that LeBron could do this in the postseason. But now he's led effectively a pop-up supporting cast to the conference finals in his 20th year, nonetheless. Just getting to this point, Ramona, what has LeBron added to his legacy and what's left for him to possibly add this postseason?
After LeBron won his title in Cleveland, Lee Jenkins, then of Sports Illustrated, now with the Los Angeles Clippers, wrote a story about how LeBron finally admitted that the player that he's been chasing this whole time is Michael Jordan because Michael has six rings. And I remember that story and I was like, well, I've never put LeBron in the same category as Jordan. Like they're in the category because we compare them as like 1A, 1B in the greatest of all time discussion. But Michael's six rings, that's always the goal for every star that comes in the modern NBA. Those six rings are what you're chasing. That's the top of the mountain. And it looked for a little while like LeBron was not going to even get a chance. Like he had tried to climb Mount Everest, he got up halfway up in bad weather, turn around and go back down, right? And I think he's to the point now where he's close. He's close. He can see it. Like the summit is up ahead. You just got to push the last way. It is fitting with my metaphor that they're playing the Nuggets, who play in the Rocky Mountains. He's close to Michael. He's close to like having a real chance at this again. And when you are chasing history like that, when you're chasing the spot on Mount Rushmore, when you're chasing, you know, he chased down Kareem for the all-time points record, and he did it pretty early, like in his 20th season, so he's got another couple years left to play. I mean, you could get all the way there. And when you look at the all-time greats, I was looking through this list. There's a lot of players who have four. You're not in rarefied air. I mean, it's still a great accomplishment. Mm-hmm. But when you get to five, now you're up there with Magic. Now you're there with Kobe, Tim Duncan. Like, you got to get five to really be in that conversation of best of your era, lived up to your potential. And I think LeBron feels that. You can see it. And that's amazing to me that he got back all the way to the top after falling so far down with the Lakers the last couple of years.
Well, they said that one in Cleveland counts for three, maybe. So one in his 20th season counts for how many, would you think?
Yes.
On the flip side of this, Ramona, you've got Nikola Jokic. He's got a chance not just to avenge his loss in the bubble, but to go through LeBron James and kind of silence the detractors. Those who've been complaining about his MVP awards in the past seasons, right? Those guys. You get a chance to silence them.
Yeah.
How much is on the line for him here?
This feels like the moment Giannis Antetokounmpo was in 2021, where they had had a couple of bad losses, or they, you know, he'd won those MVP awards, but they're sort of empty MVPs if you don't follow them up with championships. And I feel like Giannis was there a couple of years ago, and we all questioned whether he had championship medal. Was he ever going to win one? Was he ever going to like justify the accolades he has gotten during the regular season? And then he did. Right. And he broke through and he won and he had the amazing game six back in Milwaukee. And then he went through the drive through and got the 50 piece chicken dinner. I mean, that was his breakthrough year. And I don't think Jokic will go through the drive through and get a 50 piece chicken dinner. He'll probably head back to Serbia and watch some horse racing because that's what he does, or sit by the pool and hang out. Or I don't think he cares whether he's been disrespected in the MVP race. I think he sees it. I think he knows what a good player he is.
Is he better than he was in the bubble?
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He's just gotten better and better and more polished and smarter. And he's really elevated his team this year, I think, in a way that he won his two MVP awards because he kept his team at a certain level when Jamal Murray was hurt. This year, he put up arguably even a better year.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, Jokic is the type of player that just every time you watch him, he does something that you're like, how's that guy 7 feet tall doing that? Like he's just has an amazing vision and ball handling ability and intelligence. And it reminds me of when I used to watch Steve Nash a lot. Like, how did he see that pass? Like, how did he do that?
Yes.
He's an all-time great. And let's just leave it there and appreciate the game.
Jokic is certainly one of the aliens taking over the NBA.
Yeah.
Ramona, you and I have been back and forth on this series. My pick officially for ESPN.com is Lakers in seven, but I went back and forth on this. What do you think is going to happen in this series? How many games and why?
I was in a similar place as you. I was going to say the Nuggets would win in seven because I think they are younger, a little deeper. Jokic is going to be a problem for the Lakers, but he's a problem for everyone. But I've picked against the Lakers the last two rounds because I kept thinking that their opponents were either a little younger or had a little more championship experience or had home court advantage. And then I just slapped myself upside the head and I go, stop picking against LeBron James. Just stop it. Like, that's the rule. Don't pick against LeBron James anymore. Every time I pick against LeBron, I end up regretting it. And so I will say Lakers in six because they have won both series in six.
Well, I agree. I am no longer picking against LeBron James. It's the same theory I've gone with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
No longer picking against Jimmy Butler.
There it is.
Ramona Shelbourne, thank you very much.
Thanks, Iz.
I'm Israel Gutierrez. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.